Let's head over to Austin, and it's Friday and time to talk to Kyle Cassell. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Very well. Good morning and happy Good Friday.
And you too. Now, I guess you've recovered from Tuesday. You know, we had John Rainey on Wednesday morning. He drew that lot after that 17-18 hour filibuster, debate, whatever you want to call it. Give me your observations on that long day.
That was nice. As I walked back to my office to get in the car, I said, John, I love you. Have fun with Scott here in an hour and a half.
Well, he did pretty well for somebody who only had that that little amount of sleep. But basically, I know you had a lot of amendments to choose from. And what were the things that maybe you had some second thoughts before you actually decided to vote yay or nay on some things? What did you have to struggle with?
You know, I didn't have to struggle with anything. You know, I'm going to say that Chairman Otto and the Appropriations and the Appropriations staff did an incredible job. They take a lot of time in working on this. So when those amendments, I mean, we're looking at 350-plus amendments. We start at noon on the 31st of March, and, you know, we give every representative the opportunity to lay out their amendments or pull them. And there were some ones that were controversial that didn't make it to the floor. But, you know, we also, as a body, we're very fortunate that the House is united. You know, we've been called an adult. This is going to go to conference with the Senate. So we need to give Chairman Otto and his conference committee the tools they need to go to the Senate and work on this budget to make sure Texas wins with a good budget for the next biennium.
You know, one of the things that y'all did was to shore up the employee pension fund. That was nearly insolvent for a retired teacher's health care plan. So that was one thing that at least you sent along as well.
Oh, absolutely. Education got their fair share. And then when you include $768 million to TRS care for our retired teachers and HB2 and the supplemental, you're doing what's right. These folks have dedicated their life to the future generations of Texas, and we need to make sure they can enjoy their retirement.
Kyle Cassell joining us from Austin this morning. Now, and of course, the struggle is still there. The differences in these two budget bills, the House bill and the Senate version, some of it was more leaning toward property tax cuts, others with business tax cuts. Again, you basically represent rural Texans who already get a pretty good cut on their property taxes through ag discounts.
The open space valuation.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So from that standpoint, what can you be more comfortable with a situation where, and I guess what I would want to ask is, would that open space also get the same reduction that homeowners in suburbia get as far as a percentage?
Well, I can't answer that specifically, but I will say this, that open space valuation is imperative that we keep that for agriculture producers as we continue to produce more food on less acres. And, I mean, we're fighting increased costs like everybody else. That's important. You know, most folks, I loved watching some of the new members on the House floor, thought that this was the budget, and we've got a long way to go before we get to vote on the actual budget for the state of Texas. This conference committee between the House and the Senate, you know, I'm ready to see what that beast is going to look like.
Yeah, because this isn't really tongue and groove. There are going to be some sharp edges there. They're going to have to be rounded off before that ever happens. But do you feel like there is still an opportunity? There'll be some business tax cuts as well. And do you see anything as far as the sales tax coming out of that?
Absolutely. Otto left some room there in the supplemental and left some in the budget. You know, we stayed about $2 billion away from the spending cap. So there's opportunities. And like I said, he and Senator Nelson are going to provide us with a budget here, I hope soon, or, you know, I'd hate for him to bring it to us on June 1st and we'll spend all summer here. But you never know how long it's going to take those guys to work that out.
You know, I don't know where he sits to you in relation to the floor, but I think John Rainey is almost right next door to you in the offices, right? But they're in the Capitol
complex.
Well,
no, we moved halls.
Oh, did you?
We're closer on the floor this session and further away in the building. But, you know, Tara and Anna, our two chiefs, you know, they spend a lot of time on the phone together, and our working relationship with that office is second to none. Of course, we share that same relationship with Doc Anderson's office and Tracy up north.
Sure. Now, one of the things that did come to the floor was 1903. They were discussing the blend situation and how dollars should be allocated to follow the students, basically. Can you tell me how you voted on that?
Yeah, I voted with Mr. Rainey. Okay. That was an easy vote, and the appropriations and how it laid out. A lot of these tough votes, they have it taken care of in the appropriations bill, and we need to stick with Chairman Otto and the appropriations committee. They've done a lot of work, but that's something that in the higher ed committee will look at other opportunities, and I know John and Blaine continue to work together on this issue.
State of Indiana is on the front page all over this week as Governor Mike Pence wanted to sign into law basically a Religious Freedoms Act, and there's been a lot of pushback on that. There are other states that are struggling with this. I know there are three pieces of legislation in Texas having to do with religious freedom. What does that outlook seem to be from your point of view?
Well, from the way you laid it out, there's House members that have bills and the Senate members, so they obviously have a companion. Look to see what this Indiana law will do. It just passed, so it's still early in the stages. But from my standpoint, obviously traditional family values are very important to me. Protect our people's religious freedoms and limit government and the private business and industry. I mean, business owners know who they need to hire. This will be interesting to follow. Like you, I was reading a little bit, and this goes back a long time in our history. It starts with the Indians and mm-hmm. other issues. So as laws and times change, we need to make sure those laws are adapted to fit today's world. And, you know, traditional family values are of the utmost importance.
So y'all taking it easy this week, today, and then you've got the budget out of the way. So that's the one thing that by law you need to get done. But what are the things that look to be important on the floor next week or in any of your committee assignments?
Well, next week, it's going to be a really exciting week for us. It'd be environmental reg. We're going to start tackling some of the safety and agriculture concerns with our ammonium nitrate bill and environmental reg. So I look forward to working with the committee on that, and hopefully we can ensure some safety measures in the industry and make sure our ag producers still have the opportunity to use ammonium nitrate in the areas and soils that dictate that to help their crops.
State Representative Kyle Cassell joins us on Friday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Kyle.
Scott, happy Easter. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.